Welcome to my podcast, or if you're watching this by YouTube channel. I'm Ross Rosenberg, the author of the Human Magnet Syndrome books and the upcoming book, The Codependency Revolution, Fixing Something That Has Always Been Broken, published in about a month and a half. I am here because I have another idea that came to me during a session. I was talking to a client and I was working with her on my stage 4 of my 10-stage self-love recovery treatment program. Just for a little backstory here. Not only did I create the Human Magnet Syndrome and all the explanations to help us understand what codependency is, and everything you need to know about your part of it and how you can break free from it, I then created a treatment program to address the problem, which I call self-love deficit disorder, because the problem is curable. The program is completed when someone moves through these 10 stages and gets to a permanent experience of self-love abundance, which is the cure or the codependency cure. So that's really what I do. Although I am an expert, or so they say, on pathological narcissism and all the other stuff that I am so passionate about that has to do with my work, but my passion is and always has been a treatment provider, a psychotherapist, and someone who now facilitates healing, growth, and acquisition of self-love abundance while neutralizing the problem self-love deficit disorder. So the clients that I see are those who are specifically seeking self-love recovery and hope to break free of their predilection to fall in love with pathological narcissists over and over again, and to understand, as I had to find out myself, why we keep doing it, why we do the same thing over and over again. The broken picker. And for those who are in the podcast, I am showing my index finger and I'm showing it all curved. And the concept I love and been using for a decade, falling in love with the same person, but with a different face. So that's all Human Magnet Syndrome. And that's a representation of my self-love recovery program. So when I start a video or a podcast, you know, during a session, et cetera, you have a little bit of context. So one more bit of context before I talk about this video's primary subject. In my stage 4 of the 10-stage program, I incrementally, progressively, linearly move a client, a person, an SLD, someone with self-love deficiency, codependent, through these stages, knowing that every stage addresses and ultimately resolves the problems inherent in that stage that block them or get in their way to getting to the next stage. By the way, if you guys are psych majors or psychological or mental health or psychological aficionados, it's an idea promoted by Eric Erickson's psychosocial developmental stages. The concept of you can't get to the next stage unless you overcame the challenges that are inherent in the stage that preceded it. So one of the latter stages is setting boundaries in a hostile environment, which is essentially finally being ready to confront the perpetrator, the gaslighter, the instigator, the pathological narcissist in a way that initiates a very well-planned escape or exit plan. And that stage cannot proceed, cannot, should not, will not, and will fail for sure unless you accomplish, solve, and mastered all of the responsibilities, the tasks, the challenges, and the stage that preceded it, which is preparing for the narcissistic storm. That stage is best understood as the development of what I call, and for podcast people, air quotes, predictive awareness. And that stage, preparing for the narcissistic storm, creates predictive awareness, which is the ability to know so much about your SLDD, your codependency, so much about your partner's pathological narcissism, and understanding of the communication or interactional patterns, understanding of how you, the SLD, fall prey or put yourself into harm's way by pursuing what you know is hurtful but not being able to stop it, and understanding how the pathological narcissist will do about anything to keep his SLDD, his codependent prey, trapped. So the stage, preparing for the narcissistic storm, is perhaps the most extensive, lengthy, and experiential and informational rich stage of all of them, because you can't win a fight that you have been molded, conditioned, gaslit to always lose unless you know yourself so well, you know the narcissist so well, and the interactional patterns that you can observe them, not absorb them. I'm throwing in one of my techniques, but I'm not going to go there, and be able to sidestep or avoid all the tricky maneuvers, the diabolical reactions, plans, the gaslighting, the brainwashing, the triangulation, everything that the pathological narcissist can possibly do to keep you in. I refer to that as learning to stay out of the wrestling ring. You guys have heard this a million times, so here's a million and one. Based upon George Bernard Shaw's saying, don't wrestle with pigs, you'll get dirty. And besides, the pig likes it. So the stage preparing for the narcissistic storm develops predictive awareness, and there are a slew of techniques, ideas, and instructions and experiences that prepare my SLD client to be ready for the following stage is setting boundaries in a hostile environment. Okay, I'm getting to my point. If you guys are following me or if you read my book, you know that's how my brain works, is I got to go from one step to another step to another step. So when I introduce something, you're right there and know what's going on and where I'm going with it. In the stage preparing for the narcissistic storm, I explain that the narcissist will do anything and everything to keep the SLD or the codependent from leaving him or her. I explain that they have worse core shame, worse pathological loneliness. In fact, I digress. I explain SLDD through my SLDD pyramid, and you can see that right up here. And, you know, at the bottom of it is attachment trauma, core shame, pathological loneliness, the SLDD addiction, and then at the very top is all the signs and symptoms that paint a picture of the SLD or codependent. In fact, most people see that part of the pyramid as codependency. Now, that is a symptom of the problem of self-love deficit disorder. And what I realized probably about 2 years after creating the SLDD pyramid, I realized that it applies to pathological narcissists. They also have the same attachment trauma, core shame, pathological loneliness, addiction, and except on top, the symptoms are a little bit different. The difference is they have a personality disorder. And all of the three personalities that comprise what I call pathological narcissism, borderline, narcissistic, and antisocial personality disorder, aka sociopath, they have the same foundational traits. The person doesn't know they have the problem. The person denies they have a problem. The person will not seek help for the problem. The person will hurt, rebel, or somehow manipulate another person in a harmful way should they be coerced or forced, or should someone try to get them to accept their psychological condition, their disorder. So these personality disorders, in fact, most personality disorders, the person is so psychologically damaged from early childhood attachment trauma that their personality development, their ego development, their ability to know who they are and feel connected to the environment was so broken that the pain and the trauma of their attachment years was so bad, exponentially worse than the SLDs. Because you guys have already heard me talk about the pyramid and attachment trauma with SLDs. It was so bad. It was so horrendous that it had to be disassociated. Let me just jump back a little bit. You already know, hopefully you do, because if you followed my work or read my book, that SLDD is caused by attachment trauma, being raised in a harmful environment by a narcissistic and a codependent parent, and the inability for them to make the child feel safe, loved, secure, etc. And that trauma is virtually impossible for therapists to understand, locate, find, and treat. That is why I created my self-love recovery treatment program and my Hitch, Healing the Inner Trauma Child treatment techniques. And by the way, Hitch is a trauma resolution and trauma integration technique. So the personality disorder is a result of the brain being unable to resolve, to make sense of, to sort out, to compartmentalize, to ignore, which we will call that suppression. That's when you push it down. It is so painful that the early child abuse, that it was cordoned off and put in a part of the brain that is not accessible to conscious thought. But all of that attachment trauma, all of that suffering and all of that harm and all the memories associated with it are located in a part of the brain that is consciously offline but always active. So let me digress a little bit. Again, hopefully you know this and you've been following me. SLDs have attachment trauma for which it is so painful they cannot remember, and it is disassociated and placed in a part of the brain that's offline. But the difference is the person who became a pathological narcissist, the way that they coped as a child and the way that they survived was different. The one who became an SLD or a codependent found a way to mold, shape themselves, become invisible, to be the good child, the trophy child, the child that is the parent to the parent. So all of that trauma, it was so bad and so harmful. SLDs, codependents, probably might be you, have all this trauma kind of locked away in a place where what most people call your unconscious mind. So if that is the same place, that the same trauma is located for people with personality disorders, the difference is the degree, the frequency, the intensity, the maliciousness, the inescapability aspects of the trauma of the person become a pathological narcissist, get a personality disorder, an ESLD. It is not meant to come forward. That is why I never, ever work with someone with a personality disorder and utilize my Healing the Inner Trauma Child or Hitch integration healing techniques. I've learned that information, that disassociated information, that disconnected information, that purposely forgotten and I never want to think about or feel it again information, it's too big to bring forward into an experience like I do with my Hitch method, which is very, very difficult and very, very, very emotionally challenging, and then eventually integrate it. No, if that comes out of that dark cave and the abyss at the bottom of it, if that is pulled out of this dark dissociated cave, there's going to be mental breakdown. They are going to experience extreme duress. They're going to experience memories that will break them down, make them emotionally unstable, and bring back memories that are going to be so painful that they're going to have to eventually snap out of it and go back to pushing it out or not thinking about it. So a little backstory to the backstory. So when I was developing, it's funny, when I was developing the Hitch method, the Healing the Inner Trauma Child method, I didn't know I was developing it. I just kind of stumbled across it accidentally. It was before I saw the world as codependent narcissists, human magnets, and a long time ago, like 30 years ago, I was noticing I could bring a person back to their childhood trauma, get them to talk about it, and help them integrate it and heal and help them move forward. But I really only knew one third of what I would know 25 years later. But there were times in my career where I used the Hitch method when it didn't have a name for someone who had a personality disorder. And what happened every single time, the client became unglued. They became so disintegrated emotionally, psychologically, they regressed to a child, a powerless, scared, frightened child who was actually reliving the nightmare of the storm. I didn't know what I was doing. And it freaked me out as a budding therapist who didn't know what was going on. By the way, this was 15 years before Peter Levine and Besser van der Kolk, who are like my heroes, whose knowledge and contributions are just tremendous. It was before anyone talked about this stuff. And so I learned, Ross, I said, don't mess around with people with personality disorders. And plus, I didn't really like working with personality disorders because I started off as a therapist. I like to help people have more insight into their problems and overcome them. Well, you know, you have a personality disorder, that just doesn't happen.
Look, I'm finishing another drawing. This is the one I'm drawing now. Why was it the last one?
But drawing made me happy. It made me dream.
So everything's connected. So thank you for staying. Thank you for being patient. So I do not see pathological narcissists because the personality disorder and the dynamics and the characteristics that explain the different type of trauma they had in comparison to SLDs and how that trauma was removed from consciousness and stored disassociated from the mind, and how the memories of the trauma are actually dangerous to the narcissist should they either accidentally come forward or a therapist accidentally, like I did decades ago, stumble upon it. If we look at what I would call regular trauma, and I'm air quotes again, like post-traumatic stress disorder or CPTSD, the trauma is taken offline and it goes to offline into a place called the amygdala, which is in our limbic systems. And when the brain decides that conscious memory is dangerous and it has to be sequestered, it has to be removed and never to be remembered. Ross, who knows how to get to the amygdala to help my SLDs or codependents overcome the trauma, the disassociated trauma that is at the bedrock of their problem, Ross doesn't mess with that. Okay, so I set up this video for you guys. And I don't know how long it took. Let me look at the time here. That was a long time. If you try to divorce, leave, break up, sever the relationship with the narcissist, it triggers abandonment issues. So going back to the pyramid, attachment trauma, core shame, loneliness, addiction, everything that we understand that applies to SLDDs is exponentially worse, subjectively more painful. They regress to a state of psychological terror. And this is why this video is important, because should you want to leave your pathological narcissist, whether it's direct, serving them in a divorce, indirect because it's dangerous and you got to be strategic and go through very carefully my stages, the preparing for the narcissistic storm and the next stage of my self-love recovery treatment program, you must know that you're going to eventually break through into that broken area that has been partitioned off in the narcissist's mind. You're going to trigger abandonment, trigger incredible core shame, trigger indescribable loneliness. Just like the SLDs experience that, codependents, it is so much more painful subjectively. And that is going to be a condition, a situation, a personal, social, or psychological environment that the narcissist will do anything to stop. So now you might understand why narcissists will do anything to sabotage an SLD's departure, termination of relationship. Now you understand, you know, why they up the gaslighting, they do the hoovering, the love bombing. Years ago, I created an article that says the 15 things narcissists do to sabotage a person wanting to end a relationship. And there's a YouTube video on that. And that article precisely, almost chronologically, detailed all of the tricks, the techniques, the reactions they do to break down the SLD to bring them back. And again, if you're working with me on the stage, preparing for the narcissistic storm, the more information you know, particular awareness, the more you can prepare for it. So the narcissist reacts with their little child. They're incredibly traumatized, broken, frightened, terribly anxious child they once were that they have blocked from the awareness. Those feelings and memories come forward. And it's important that you understand this, because if you are going to eventually leave the prison for which you have been entrapped, codependency, self-love, death disorder, gaslighting, all the various explanations for that prison, that dungeon, you have to prepare for the reactions of the narcissist, which is what I'm talking about, and their efforts to avoid the pain of it. If you know ahead of time that through predictive awareness, and if you're working with a program, you know the stage, that the stuff is going to hit the fan and there's going to be a volcanic explosion that will be, depending on the personality disorder or the type of pathological narcissism, will be in your face aggressive. It could be invisible, passive aggressive. It's going to be an earthquake of the highest magnitude. And that narcissist is going to regress back into that little baby who is so scared and anxious. This video will help you understand why they regress into hurt children, where they cry and beg and say, please don't leave me. I'll do anything. In these moments, I call trauma leakage. They're actually not joking. They're not trying to manipulate you. They're not trying to be deceptive. No, in that moment, their pain is so excruciating. They're having flashbacks of being a child. And if you look in their face, if you look in their eyes and you hear their voice, you will hear the tone, the trembling of a child who's terrified. If you look into their eyes, they'll probably be crying. They'll probably look sad. Now, I know that some really tricky narcissists can pull that off because they're just manipulators, but I'm talking about the trauma leakage. But the challenge is you're a recovering SLD. And if you're working with me, you have my support, you have the program and all sorts of tools and strategies that I teach and try to facilitate with my clients. But if you're not, you need to be able to prepare for this. Using the name of my stage, prepare for the narcissistic storm. So when you set boundaries in a hostile environment and this narcissist acts like a hurt, wounded child, and you, because SLDs have empathy. By the way, the cure or the goal of SLDD treatment, self-love abundance, it's not to get rid of empathy. No, why would anyone do that? Empathy's cool. Empathy's great. Wonderful. It's human. Lovable. Sweet. But in this scenario, you're an SLD in recovery, you're naturally empathetic, and you're not completely done with my program, or you're not very far in your own version of it, you're going to be susceptible to reacting to that wounded child you see and wanting to hold that baby and hug it and say, it'll be okay. And I say that analogously, because it's not a baby. You're going to see the person who you once loved and adored, I treated you horribly, you're going to be reminded that he's human and has a sweet side, and that will trigger your empathy. And if you're not in good recovery, will get you to reopen up your vulnerabilities, get you to give him or her another chance, get you back into the wrestling ring. And then as soon as that is secured, bam, it goes away. Yeah, it goes away. It can't be sustained because it's not real. It is a reaction. It is the trauma leakage. It is the rupture of all internal boundaries that regresses the narcissist back to the earliest part of their childhood that their brain made sure they never remember. So you got this good explanation. I put it within the context of the human magnet syndrome, put it in context of my codependency cure or self-love recovery treatment program, my healing inner trauma child treatment technique, and the psychological processes that a lot of us don't know about that we must know about, predictive awareness. If we are going to rise above the claws and the chains of codependency that keep us down, we got to prepare and we have to watch or observe and don't absorb the narcissist become, actually they are becoming, but also seem like this hurt, wounded, vulnerable child. And you have to do what might be unthinkable. You have to say to yourself, and you have to do it, I'm not getting to that wrestling ring. Nothing good will come out of it. In conclusion, prepare. Prepare by understanding yourself. Now, this book that's coming out in a month and a half, The Codependency Revolution, Fixing What Has Always Been Broken, takes everything that I know about the problem and writes it clearly in a 335-page text. It's not the next edition of the Human Magnet Syndrome. It is a broader, more comprehensive look at codependency. Read it. Not because I want to make a few bucks royalties, and you know, I work for a living, what the heck. No, read it because as a part of your acquisition of knowledge, information, development of predictive awareness, you will have a much higher probability of coming out of this horrible nightmare victorious. So it's nice chatting with you guys again. I hope this video helped you. If you like what you hear or see, and then you're a YouTuber, subscribe, hit the bell, whatever they say over, or favorite the podcast and leave a comment. Be well and take care.